you guys. I'm K2 Romeo India Whiskey. My name is Dick. At this time, we begin the technical net as we've done for the last 36 years or so. And the main purpose of the tech net, as you guys know, is education. We teach each other how wireless equipment works and how to get greater enjoyment out of the 26 or 27 different kinds of ham radio, 2-meter FM repeater ham radio, which you're listening to right now. It's just one of the 26 kinds. Before you give up this, if you're disappointed with it, before you give up this extremely educational hobby, do try one of the other 25 kinds. Let me drop. This weekend was the field day operation, and we were very fortunate on Long Island that all of that predicted rain, not very much of it or any of it happened, so the various field day sites didn't get rained out. I visited three of the field day sites, and you guys who are highly active, I didn't do any operating, by the way, I just visited them and talked to people. You guys who were active in the field day sites, set up, tear down, operation, visiting, whatever, schedule in your mind what happened, because I'd like to, a little later on, have you guys give us a description of what the field day was like from your point of view. What did you see? What did you like? What do you think should change, if anything? So I'd like to hear your field day experience. Let me drop. This TechNet, as long as there's enough people with enough enthusiasm, usually runs for 4 hours, starts at 8 o'clock and ends at midnight. That's when the machine gets turned off. It's divided into three sections, not necessarily equal in size. The first section is where people sign in because they sign in and give us their name and call letters because they do have a question and a comment. Question or a comment. You need not sign in because you're listening. After 26 years, we believe somebody is out there listening, so that doesn't have to be proven anymore. I'm doing some checking, and I find out that the Eastern Machine, and therefore the IRLP, and Echolink is apparently working. Hopefully so is the chat room. Let me drop. So the question and answer for typically ham radio, but sometimes the subjects that are allowed to be discussed during the question and answer period are subjects of interest to ham radio operators, usually about transmitters, receivers, antennas, propagation, and the various kinds of ham radio. But it does, from time to time, branch into meteor scatter, moon bounce, astronomy, and so on. Other subjects of interest to ham radio operators. The second section is run by Roy. Dr. Roy, AC2GS, gives us the latest information that he has discovered with reference to physics and science. And you're allowed to ask physics and science questions. And he has a beautiful website where you go to his website and you see a great big list of things that you can sign into, where you get additional information if you want. And also you're allowed to ask him any question you want. He is filling in and going beyond what John KC2WGB used to do with the mailbag operation. Roy does mailbag and quite a bit more than that. Let me drop. And the third section is run by Paul WS2N, which tells us the latest of what the National Aeronautics and Space Administration is doing, the space report. And he'll be giving us space report number 305 tonight. Roy will be giving us a science and physics report number 35. And Roy is going to talk a little bit slower tonight because I think some people had a little trouble following last week. But we'll play that by ear, if you know what I mean. You're allowed to make suggestions as to, I wish you guys would do more of this and less of that. The TechNet has evolved into what it is right now, primarily because of the requests of the people who sign in and listen to it. So we try not to be dictators. You're allowed to change things in ways that you think should be changed. As long as it's reasonable and other people agree, we'll go and do it. Let me drop.
K7KKA radio check. Yes, we agree on it. Any suggestions on any
I'm hearing K7KKA. I'd like to know your name, sir. And I think you're saying something about antennas. A little bit of what you said got dropped out, so please repeat your message. K7KKA with a name. Wait for the beeps. K2RIW. My name is Dick.
Roger, Roger. Name is Michael. K7KKA. I was just asking, getting new to the ham world, and I was wondering, I'm looking to purchase an antenna. You guys got any suggestions? I'm asking the TechNet for any suggestions on an antenna. 2 meter, 440.
This is, Okay, Mike, this is the sign-in time. So, Mike, without giving a delay for the three beeps, which he should have done, K7, KKA, he's on the list. Another person said this is, and we didn't hear anything beyond that. So we're taking check-ins now for people who do have a question or a comment for the net. Give me your call letters and name right now. Please wait for the three beeps before you transmit. K2RIW listening.
N2AM with a two-part question.
We got Rich. We did hear before somebody say this is, and then we didn't hear anything beyond it. The person who said this is, who was that?
82 Q Vivo. This is Andrew.
Okay, I heard what sounded like Kilo Delta 2 Quebec Bravo Victor is what it sounded like. Please correct me on the call letters and please tell me your name, sir. K2RIW, my name is Dick.
Queen Bravo Oscar.
Okay, Queen.
My name is Bobby Kandrew.
Okay, Queen Bravo Oscar. Please tell me your name again, sir.
The name is Kandrew.
Okay, Kandrew is what I think you said your name is. Okay, so we've got Michael, Kandrew, and Rich. Anyone else to check into the TechNet? Particularly if you're going to tell us what the field day was like from your particular point of view. Give me your call letters and name right now after the three beeps. K2RIW.
This is KD2QBC. My name's Ken.
Okay, Ken, that sounded like Kilo Delta 2 Quebec Bravo Charlie. Do I have that correct, Ken?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, we got Ken. Anyone else to check in? Because you do have a question or a comment, or are you going to tell us what field day is like? Give me your call letters and name right now after the three beeps. Maybe you guys are now sleeping because you did all that operating for almost 24 hours during the field day. Okay, we're going to go to Michael first. Kilo 7, Kilo, Kilo Alpha. Michael, I think it's a 2 meter antenna you're looking for, but give us a little bit more information. Do you intend to do it with a 2 meter single 2 meter single sideband on, say, 2 meters? I mean, on the lower section, 144.200? Or is it only FM repeaters you intend to talk to?
That's Danny you're talking to.
The KK7A you're telling me was Danny?
Looking up our QRZ.
Okay. So I'll go over to Kendrew then. Kilo Delta 2, Quebec, Bravo, Oscar. Go right ahead with your question or comment, Kendrew, K2RIW.
Yeah, I was in the field there. It was fantastic. Excellent how you guys doing the job. I was there like a couple of hours, and that's my first time in the field there. My experiences were wonderful. I appreciate what you guys doing. Let me drop.
Kendrew, we heard you say you're going to drop. Do you have any further information about field day or whatever else you wanted to tell us? KD2QBO, K2RIW.
Yeah, I was there in field day. The field day is fantastic, and how you guys doing, and excellent job. That's my first time in the field day. So what are you guys doing? I'm very much appreciated. My question is about the antenna too. I was planning to go on 10 meter and what kind of antenna we should be using it and how to set it up. I was looking at the dipole antenna, but it seems like in a 82 feet, which seems to be pretty long. I may not have enough space in my back yet to put it. This is KD2QB, Bo. Thanks.
Very fine, Kendrew. When it comes back to you, please tell us which field day site you visited, what town, and what county were you in. And I think you're saying now you would like to establish operation on 10 meters. And by the way, there are repeaters on 10 meters that some people like an awful lot. So on 10 meters, there are a small number of repeaters that I know about. An awful lot of the people on 10 meters are also using either Morse code or single sideband. And 10 meters from time to time when the when sporadic E propagation works, sometimes you get some very long distance on 10 meters, you know, halfway and three-quarters of the way across the United States, so to speak. I think you're asking us for a suggestion for an antenna. 10 meters is a frequency where if you have the resources, a two or a three-element Yagi that's steerable would be nice if you're doing single sideband work. If you're doing FM repeater work, then most people will use a vertical a ground plane-like antenna. And the number of feet of the feed line usually is not a problem because 10 meters doesn't have anywhere near the amount of loss of, say, 2 meters. Choose the right feed line and 150 feet of it would be very operational. Maybe that's some of the information you're looking for, Kendrew. KD2QBO, K2RIW in the TechNet. So which field day site did you visit? Wait for the three beeps.
I visited in the Wantuck State Park with, I think, a Leviton. I believe it's LMARC 1. That's where I was there. And I appreciate the information, yes. I was looking for a single side band, but I'm on a technician license, so I'm not sure I'm allowed on the SSB, or I should be in FM only. Roger.
Okay. That's a good question. Eric, KE2EJ, one of the questions that Kendra just asked us is that if he wants to operate single sideband on 10 meters with a technician license, I believe there's a portion of 10 meters with a technician license that he is allowed to use. Is that true? KE2EJ, K2RIW.
K2RIW, KE2EJ. Yeah, there is a portion of 10 meters that techs are allowed to use sideband. They can also use CW. Give me a second, I'll tell you the exact frequency. I think it's like from 282 to 283, but let me look it up. Yeah, that's right, Eric. WSMS.
KD2FIU, input.
Go right ahead, George.
Own sideband portion is 28.3 to 28.5, 200 watts. The most active part of the band. All right. Under that, CW, once again, 200 watts, KD2FIU.
Is both sideband and CW the exact same frequency range for technicians? Back to you, George.
I understand CW permitted everywhere. So, the CW 28 to 28.5. And then phone 28.3 to 28.5, and this is a 200 watt limit. And it's a very good introduction to HF. believe me, it's very active in that area.
Okay, George, you sound like the guy who's been there and done it. Sounds to me like you probably have used that portion of the 10-meter sideband and CW band rather recently. Tell us what kind of range you saw. How often does the band open up this time of year with this kind of a sunspot cycle? So give us a little bit of a picture of what 10-meter operation is like from your QTH. KD2FIU, K2LIW on the TechNet.
Okay, Dick, let me make one comparison of field day. As I was listening here, and I was not able to get out because of some physical reasons and no wheels right now, but just totally different. On field day, 10-meter operation, circa 28.4, so around 28.35 to 28.44. It would start around 9:30, 9:45, and go to about 1 p.m., 1300 hours, and it was moving. It was absolutely moving, as crowded as it could be, especially Saturday. It moved to about 3:45, and there was a lot of activity, mostly the southeast midwest portion of the U.S., which is about the best DXing you're going to get right now during the daytime, other than 20 meters with a Yagi. KD2FIU, let me come back.
Now, when you come back, tell us the best DX you heard during this particular weekend, for instance. Back to you, George, after the delay.
I'm looking at the log here. I had Texas, Memphis, Southeast Indiana, Boston, and there were a lot of locals in the area, I would say within 40 miles. The band was very quiet during the day, and there were big E openings from prior to 10 a.m. to probably a little under before 3 o'clock. Now, this is field day weekend, and everybody's out there with limited power, and everybody's claiming they're running 100 watts. I was very, very impressed with this activity on the low spot, the low point of the, heading toward the low point of the sunspot cycle. And if you want me to come back and mention how it is on the high point, which a lot of seasoned operators know, because I just came off a high point, it's sometimes 24 hours a day.
That sounds awfully good. When you were hearing one of those very far stations you heard over the weekend, in Texas, for instance, out of curiosity, was that by Morse code or single sideband? And tell us about the high point. You've got it, George.
Okay, KD2FIU. Phone, sideband. I was working 125 watts with the station in Texas. We had a QSO 5-5 was the report. And that was at 14, 16 hours. Let me go back here a little bit on this. I think it went in Rockford, Illinois. It was just a greeting. It was just a greeting. He was moving on. Charlotte. And I got a W5 station in Oklahoma. That was a little bit later in the afternoon. Around 28.4. 405, 41, 415, 42. These are where the stations were coming in. And like I said, the band was very, very, very quiet. No crashes. KD2FIU for recycle. At the high point of the sunspot cycle that just passed in the summer of 2014, I worked anywhere from New Zealand to Lebanon, Central Russia, not just Western Russia, Central Russia, in the evening and late hours. So 10 meters is to me, is a golden band. And, of course, 20 we know is the low angle DX band. And, of course, 40 has its features by lightening up in the evening and going through the night, and 75, 80 going all night. So, Dick, can I say anything more about HF propagation? And you don't need more than a couple hundred watts, or even 100, 150 watts.
Sounds like you were using a barefoot 100 or 125, 150 watt rig. The first question I think Kendra is going to ask is, what were you using for an antenna? Does it have a rotator? How high above the ground was the antenna? So give us your antenna information. I was doing all that beautiful DX during 2014 and during this particular weekend. KD2FIU, K2RIW. Go ahead, George.
KD2FIU, in 2014, 15, and 16, I was using a GAP, six-band, multi-band, vertical. This is ground insulated, ground isolated antenna with no radials, designed for pretty much to do that work. Recently, in the last year, even as we're going towards the low point of the sunspot cycle, I'm using a smaller vertical, three-band, 10, 15, 20-meter high gain, 12 AVQ at 15 feet with wire aerial radials. And I'm also using the antenna I mentioned 3 weeks ago, which is the inverted Z for 10 meters only that I have in the attic, broadside east and west. That's the one I owe you a correction on, that pigtail coax length at the station end, and I'll prepare for that for next week. Right now, vertical, 15 feet tall with aerial radial wires, ground plane radial wires, aerial, and an inverted V tuned specifically for 10 meters in my attic. KD2FIU.
Okay, that's a lot of hands-on real information about 10 meters. Local, recent. I thank you, George. Let's see if Kendra has any further questions about those antennas and what the band is like and whether or not he wants to go there. Sounds like he does. KD2, Quebec, Bravo, Oscar. You're allowed to ask any further questions on this subject, Kendra. K2RIW and the TechNet. My name is Dick. You got it, Kendra.
KD2, QBVO. Thanks for that information. I'm wondering, like, you know, if I go with a multi-band dipole antenna, will that be enough? Or, like, in a, as you suggested, go with the Aggie, and I guess you said linear, and 15 feet above the ground, and 30 dub east to west facing, and then maybe, like, you know, I get a hit with that. So, with that, should I also use an the antenna tuner along with my rig, or it's not required? Please, thanks.
From what George just told us, Andrew, his vertical antenna did an awful lot of that work. Very simple, doesn't require an aiming. And if you do decide at a later time to either build or buy a Yagi antenna with a rotator, you'll get a little bit more performance out of that. But it doesn't have to be a Yagi. The fact that the antenna that you might use is a multi-band antenna almost doesn't matter. By that I mean, as long as you can tune the antenna so that between those frequencies of, I think it's 28.3 and 28.5, that region of the 10-meter band that you're allowed to use, it's a relatively narrow frequency region. So tuning your antenna to give a good standing wave ratio for that narrow region is relatively easy to do. Do a good job of that, and no antenna tuner would be required. Let me drop. These modern-day transceivers that are called no-tune. The good news is that they're more compact and have a simpler front panel. The bad news is that if the standing wave ratio of the antenna is anything more than about 1.5 or 1.7, then the transmitter usually starts cutting back in power and self-protecting, and an antenna tuner is required. But any antenna, if you're willing to spend the time, can be carefully tuned on each one of its frequencies so that the standing wave ratio can be made to go away. That's a whole other fancy discussion. So you don't necessarily have to use an antenna tuner. The choice is don't bother changing the antenna and use an antenna tuner, or don't buy the antenna tuner and spend some time doing some extra tuning of the antenna if it happens to have more than a 1.5 standing wave ratio on your favorite frequency. Let me drop. And if the antenna you buy or build is made for multiple bands, that doesn't cut down the performance. As long as on each one of those bands, it can be tuned to give you a reasonable standing wave ratio, you can get full performance on each one of those bands. So whether the antenna is made for one band, three bands, or five bands, almost doesn't matter. Just what is the standing wave ratio on each one of those bands, and are you willing to spend the time tuning it so that the standing wave ratio becomes a number like 1.5 and less, then most transmitters will give you no grief and you'll get full performance. So I wonder if that's some of the information you're looking for, Candrew. KD2QBO, K2RIW in the TechNet. My name is Dick.
Yeah, thanks for the information again. So if I go vertical, and that seems to be best, based on what you said. But my question is, on the same band, you said like, you know, there's an FM, so there are repeaters available. Where can I find that information about FM repeater on the 10-meter band? This is KD2QBO. Thanks.
Yeah, when it comes to repeaters on a particular band, the best reference I know of is the ARRL little book called Repeater Directory. You get a copy of the Repeater Directory, and it's broken down by bands and broken down by states. You choose the 10-meter band, that's a whole section of the book, and it's broken down by states, which you look up New York and New Jersey and Connecticut and so on. So it'll list each one of the repeaters with their frequencies, with their PL tones, and whatever. I'm rather sure that there are repeaters on the 10-meter band at a frequency range that a technician is allowed to use. Let me double-check with everyone here. What percentage of the 10-meter repeaters are on a frequency that a person with a technician license is allowed to use? If you've got an answer to that, please give me your call letters right now.
N-O-N-E, men.
They're too high up in frequency.
E2FIU answer.
Go ahead, George.
The 29.5 to 29.699 is the FM portion where there are repeaters. I think there's 8 slots currently open, and 4 of them have activity right now. That's out of the technician privilege. That is 29.5 to 29.699. That is out of technician privilege. Technician privilege is under 28.5. 28.3 to 28.5 phone and CW under that, with a power limit, like I said, 200. So the FM is not there. And by the way, it would be hard-pressed to make an antenna for both of that type of activity on 10. 10 is like a little over 1.5 megahertz wide. So it's a tough band to work one antenna with. I do have something that I want to add to about whichever portion of 10 you want to work, and let me go and come back and I'll be final. KD2FIU. From my experience and experience in working with a lot of people on 10 meters, and I am in that phone portion from the beginning of when I was licensed 4.5 years ago. The fact is that 10 meters, 28, 29, close to 30 megahertz, and technically we're at the beginning of VHF. So, well, technically doesn't mean anything much, but I'll tell you, by performance, you want your 10-meter antennas high up, high in the air. If you're going to work a multi-band ground plane-type antenna vertical, it's going to be a very poor performer on 10 meters because the bottom portion of that antenna is right on the ground. 10 meters works best, highest on your property you could make it, just like height is might when you're getting into VHF. Technically, whether it's, you know, around 30 megahertz and we're crossing that point doesn't mean anything specifically in numbers, but my advice is 10 meters of antennas should be as high as possible. No question about it. And if you want to start working 10-meter phone, cheap and inexpensive, even a CB collinear type, half wave, as high as you can put it on your property, so it phases without radials and ground planes, would be a great place to open up that band to you. KD2FIU.
So as you can tell, Andrew, it looks like when it comes to FM repeater operation, you're not allowed to do it on 10 meters. On 2 meters, you are. So if you want repeater operation, the 2-meter band probably is one of the best you should consider.
2 meters is interesting.
Go right ahead, Eric.
Now, 6-meter FM can be rather cool. I've looked Europe many times. Sometimes the band opens up the times that you least expect it. Oh, and by the way, there's actually 8 active 10-meter repeaters. 6-2, 6-4, 6-6, 6-8, and there's another one at 7-0. Sometimes you hear them, but sometimes you don't. But 6 meters, you're allowed to hold non-band from 50.1 up. And there's some repeaters, and there's at the bottom portion of it, you'll find a lot of sideband between 50.1 and 50.3. Can be a lot of fun.
I thank you, Eric. So, Kendu, as you can tell, you're not going to operate 2-meter FM, 10-meter FM, with a technician license. But 6 meters, 2 meters, you can, and probably other bands above that. And when it comes to FM operation, in some cases, at least when it comes to the local repeaters, a simple handy-talkie, with or without an external antenna, can be adequate depending on what kind of range you're looking for. You went to the Limock Field Day site, and I was there also, although I was there around 11 o'clock or so on Saturday night. So you and I might have been there at the same time. And from Holbrook, where you live, that's a reasonably long trip. So, is there any further information you need on these operations that you're planning to do, Kendrew? KD2QBO, K2RIW in the TechNet.
KD2QBO, thanks for the information. I appreciate the... it looks like there's a lot of information, but it seems like it's going to be a tough job for me to get into the 10-meter and getting into anywhere that I want to contact other than like in a, having in a very high antenna vertical. So I'll plan for that and see what I can do. So that's what I was planning to do it. But again, I appreciate that. Actually, on the field day, I was in on Saturday, and between 2:30 and then until 5:30, I was there. Now, this is KD2 QBO. Thanks.
Okay, thank you for that description. And by the way, VHF antennas and even a 10-meter antenna works better when it's high up. That doesn't stop it from working. If you start off with a low antenna and decide to use a slingshot to shoot a line into a tree on your property at a later time to raise the dipole at a higher altitude, that's something you can always do to improve the operation. Antennas don't stop operating because you're low. And there are people who think that, in the case of George, his 10-meter antenna is inside the attic of his house. And you heard about the operation he's doing. So don't deny yourself that band because you think you can't get the antenna a zillion feet in the air. You're allowed to come back and ask us more questions anytime in the future that you want to, Candrew. I'm going to go over to the next person who signed in. Let me drop him. Which was Rich, N2EO. And after we handle Rich, which will be very brief, of course, that's a joke between me and Rich, I'll be once again asking you guys for any descriptions you want to give us as to what field day was like from your point of view. Which field day site did you see? What did you see when you got there? Who you talked to? And your overall impression. I'll be asking you those questions after we go to Rich. So Rich with his question, N2EO, K2LIW. Go ahead, Rich.
Okay, Dick, N2EO, thank you for turning it over to me. I'm going to ask a question about, you know, moving up state. Soon as I sell my home, I want to go up to Binghamton. And I'm getting plenty of property. It's been property up there would typically 2 to 4 acres. I want to string up an inverted V, which is a relatively simple antenna. I want to feed it with open wire line. I have a tuner that can take 1,500 watts, let me let it drop. My question, Dick, is I want to be able to go down to 160. Now, my impression, unless I'm wrong, is I don't have to, I can use a tuner, cut it for 160 or even a lower frequency and make it work 160 to 10 meters. And then I'll ask you the other part, which is very simple.
Rich, you said you were going to ask us a question, and then you dropped out. We're waiting for you to come back. Go ahead, Rich.
Oh, I don't think I dropped out. I think somebody covered me. What I said was, if I put up a inverted V cut for 160 meters, when I move upstate, I'll have the land. Is that true that it'll work everything from 160 to 10 meters with my tuner? I'm going to feed it with open wire line.
There's at least two different kinds of answers to the question you just asked, Rich. If I just first talk about 80 meters, which I often use as an example, a full half-wave dipole on 80 meters is roughly 132 feet long. You can build it out of 14-gauge wire with almost anything you want to use as insulators, hang that in the tree with a slingshot, and you'll get some very good operation. If you don't have enough property for a 132-foot dipole, and you built the dipole 32 feet instead of 132 feet, you're shrinking it down to, you know, one-third the normal size. Does that mean it's not going to work? Absolutely not. It has a very predictable impedance. The resistive component, I don't know exactly, but maybe it's going to be 5 ohms. And the reactive component, maybe it's going to be 1,000 ohms of capacitive reactance. You take that information, you go to the Berkeley website, you Google Berkeley and impedance matching. You Google Berkeley and impedance matching, it'll tell you exactly how to make that antenna work on that frequency. So the length of your wire and the band you want to go to, one band at a time, is very easy to handle. Your next question is that if you build a full-size dipole on 160, you don't have to, but if you went full-size, roughly 270 feet. Would it work on the other bands? Yes, but in the case of 80 meters, for instance, it's going to have an extremely high impedance. The average antenna tuner can't go that far. 160, any antenna as a dipole, you go to exactly twice the frequency, the dipole suddenly becomes a 2,000 ohm impedance, and almost no antenna tuner can handle that under normal conditions. Play with the right length of extra transmission line, so you rotate that impedance into the portion of the area where the antenna tuner can handle it. Possibly you can make that work. However, even if the antenna tuner doesn't make it, by the Berkeley program, you can predict exactly what inductor and what capacitor as an L network will give you a perfect match to that antenna used at twice the frequency. And whether or not you use that with or without the antenna tuner also is your choice. So if you're smart enough to know exactly what impedance you're going to get, that's predictable by the Brown and Woodward curves, and I've told you guys so often where they're located at each of those two websites of mic number one and mic number two, the website. The Brown and Woodward curves, you tell it the length of the wire and the frequency you're on, it'll tell you exactly what the impedance of the antenna is going to be. The Berkeley program will tell you exactly how to build an external inductor and capacitor network that'll tune it, even if the antenna tuner doesn't make it. So, let me drop. Your real limitation for whatever antenna you want to build, if you're smart enough as an amateur with the information I've just given you, no property restriction is going to stop you from putting up that antenna. Even if you're forced to use the antenna inside the attic of the house, even if you're forced to use it on a quarter acre of property, no matter what band you want to go to, you can make your antenna work on that band once you use the additional information that's available to you. It's a little bit non-traditional. The average ham in the past says, I want a full half-wave dipole, I want no impedance matching required, I want to go the simplest possible way. Well, you don't have to be that restrictive, in my opinion. N2EO, K2RIW. Go ahead, Rich.
All right, take N2EO. But where will be the acreage is usually 2 to 4 acres in Binghamton, outside of Binghamton, you know, the town. I'm looking at property up there, so I know that's the case. So what would you advise about stringing up a, I want to work 160 through 10. What would you recommend for that, Traps?
UFIU.
Go right ahead, George, with your suggestions on his question.
Skywire loop. Tune it for 3.75 megahertz, full wave division, 1005, divided by that, it doesn't have to be too high. Build it horizontal. You don't have to worry too much about your feed point having to be completely perpendicular and distant from your abode. Skywire loop, quad built, or and with as many angles as you want, if it's going to be a little out of shape from the quad towards a roundness. About 3.75 divided by the 1005 formula, full wave. You're going to be flipping from horizontal to nivis in the different bands, but it's not going to matter in the very low HF. You will capture a good part of 160. Let me let it drop and come back.
My first question is going to be, what visual is he going to get on all of those six bands with that antenna? Wait for the beeps, and you got it, George.
Yeah, you're going to radiate with very good visual, and you might be out 5 to 1 on some of the bands. That's not really far out to bring in easily with a tuner. We're not talking 10, 20, or 100 to 1, or 1,000 to 1, or anything like that. Picture this. You're going to come in with about 100 ohms impedance at the feed point at the lower end of 80 meters, which you're going to cut it for. And you're going to come right in on 40. You may come in on 20. But minor tuning will be required. You will need a 2 to 1 at the feed. But the feed point, unlike a dipole, is not going to have to be perpendicular, unobstructed, to get the optimum out of it right down the center. So, let me drop it and let the conversation go. KD2FIU.
So there's one recommendation with, I believe, personal experience that George had, Rich. So a one wavelength square loop at 80 meters, he believes is going to cover every one of your bands with less than a 5 to 1 standing wave ratio on most of those bands, which most antenna tuners will handle, particularly if you're willing to add an extra length of transmission line on some of those bands in order to rotate the impedance into the active portion of the antenna tuner's tuning range. So that's one possibility of a very broadband antenna. Another possibility, if you've really got a whole lot of acreage, is Beveridge and rhombic. These are extremely broadband antennas that will give you a very good impedance match on whatever band that you're willing to build it, as long as the four sides of the rhombic, for instance, are multiple wavelengths at your operating frequency. If you've got a lot of property, that's worth considering. N2EO for further questions. K2RIW, the TechNet.
Justin.
Who was that?
Hey, Jerry Joy.
Yeah. Knowing his physical limitations, you know, why not just, you know, if he's got the room for a halfway at 160 meters, why not just a trap dipole? And it's simple, very straightforward. You could have somebody put it up. And it's fairly broad.
Eric, are you familiar with somebody's design of a trap dipole that works on 160, 80, 40, 20, 15, and 10, for instance? I know it's possible. Is there a design out there of somebody has already done it, or is it going to take a bit of fiddling? N2EO, K2RIW. Oh, wait a minute, no. KE2EJ, K2RIW. Go ahead, Eric.
Well, I'm going back a whole bunch of years, and I think at that point we had the walk bands. So when I'm talking about the walk bands, there was a bunch of guys in the Midwest and on the West Coast that actually making them, and a bunch of people had them. They worked pretty well. Some bands, the EQ was rather high, whereas it, you know, was rather narrow, where it was really resonant, but you know, nothing that a tuner couldn't handle.
So you've got at least three choices.
KD2RY.
Who is that? Who is that that just signed in? Please repeat and start off with your call, your name also.
KG2RY, David, New York City, White Village.
Kilo Golf 2, Romeo Yankee. You got it, David. Please tell us your suggestion for Rich. K2RIW, my name is Dick.
My friend Bauman from Germany, we have regular conversations about technology and building things and creating things. And he has an antenna inside his apartment that works from 10 through 80, the simple coils and traps that he set up for himself. He calculated, you know, the amount of turns on the coil through mathematics, and he was able to get it to tune and resonate on all bands. He transmits CW mostly and less than 50 watts. Inside the apartment, along the edge of the ceiling. Back to you.
Sounds like very good information, David. the particular antenna, what name or where do you get information on how to build or buy that antenna? Question number one. And question number two, I think you're in New York City where the celebration is taking place. Is that true? KG2RY, K2RIW.
K2RIW from KG2RY. Fine business, Dick. Well, you know, there was no getting in or getting out of here since last night. There's no way to get out of the West Village, so I basically stayed home. If a person wants to know about this antenna, I can specifically get information about it and give it to them. Back to you, sir.
That sounds good. When it comes to getting a hold of you, David, to get further information, KG2RY, are you? Is your email address listed in QRZ.com? Or are you an ARRL member and we can get you? What's the easiest way of a person sending a email or a snail mail letter to David? KG2RY, K2RIW.
QSL, Dick, K2RIW from KG2RY. You can look me up on the QRZ.com page. There's an email and also a snail mail address listed. Thank you, sir.
Very good, David. That's an attractive offer, and I thank you. Let's see if, so it looks like you've got David's solution. You've got a rhombic solution. You've got a trapped dipole solution. You've got the full wavelength on 80-meter square loop antenna solution. You have more solutions than you know what to do with. Choosing the right one for you. Your first choice is not going to be the best choice. There's nothing stopping you from putting up a second antenna 6 months later, Rich. N2EO. And by the way, no ham is completely satisfied with whatever antenna he puts up. 6 months later, you're going to want to add to it. It's just like nobody who owns a boat is satisfied with it. He always wants a slightly larger boat. N2EO, K2RIW. You got it, Rich.
Okay, thank you, Dick, and well said. Barry, N2MB is said he'll come up, because he wants to buy upstate property as well. And he'll come up. He said he'll help me set up the equipment and the antenna. So, you know, me being in a wheelchair, it would be impossible. He's going to help me with that. Anyway, thank you. I'll think it over what my selections are. Once I buy the house, I'll know exactly what the lot size is, and we can go from there. Dick, back to you, and to the other.
One of the things that I've often said, and I get challenged on this, and I don't blame you guys for challenging me. I say that there are roughly 5,000 kinds of antennas currently in existence. And if you take a look at the latest issue of the monthly journal, Antennas and Propagation Transactions of the IEEE, every month, you take a look at the back of that issue, you'll see five more patents for brand new antennas that have been invented that particular month. I think there's 5,000 kinds of antennas. You may do a survey and say those two antennas are not really different, and you may think there's only 3,920, and somebody else may think there's 6,000. I say there's roughly 5,000 kinds of antennas. And so if you're smart enough, you'd be amazed how many of them can be used to serve your purpose. The main purpose of an antenna is that the RF energy you put into it, the antenna must resonate on that frequency, and then it will radiate. Those are the seven most important words if you're an antenna designer. Resonate first, then it will radiate. Let me drop. Choose the right materials and method of construction by way of the antenna size squeezing techniques. Zigzagging, folding back on itself, helical winding, loading coils, top hat capacitors, and combinations of all of the above, and RF chokes and impedance matching devices. You can make an antenna any physical size you want and make it work well if you apply the right currently known knowledge. So you may think that an antenna on 160 meters is absolutely impossible on your property, or it couldn't possibly be put into the attic of your house. It absolutely can, if you're smart enough. So choose the antenna that you like the physical appearance of, that you've got some faith in. Somebody has given you a personal testimonial that it works well from him. There's a zillion ways you can choose an antenna. No matter what antenna you choose, no matter what frequency you want it to operate on, with certain restrictions. You're not going to take a waveguide 10 gigahertz antenna and operate it on 80 meters. It can't go that far. But for most of standing wave structure-like antennas that we're talking about, things that resonate, if you're smart enough at any size, you can make it work. You can make it work well, even if it's outside of the tuning range of your antenna tuner. So try not to force the previously used thinking to restrict what antenna you use and how you use it and how you tune it. Okay, I was going to ask you guys if there's anyone else that wants to tell us what field day was like from their point of view. Where did they go? What did they see? Anybody who wants to give us their field day experience from this particular weekend, give me a call, let us name right now. K2RIW in the TechNet. Okay, if we have no further people, wait a minute, I forgot all about the fact that another guy here, Ken, KD2QVC, Tilo Delta 2, Quebec, Bravo Charlie. I almost skipped over you, Ken. K2RIW, go ahead with your question, comment, or whatever. You've got it, Ken.
Hi. So I'm looking at investing into an all-mode receiver, and after doing some research online, I've come across the Yaesu 857 and the ICOM 7300. So I was curious if anybody has any experience with these receivers and could give some advice.
Let me first find out, Ken, and this is one of the first decisions that people make when they're about to buy a rig. Do you want it to be brand spanking new and shiny in the box with the plastic wrapping around it? Or are you willing to save half of your money, so to speak, by buying something that's used, but by buying something that has a good track record? I do the second. The rig you're listening to right now is a 1985 vintage Kenwood TS-700A, a goldie, an oldie but goodie, but it's an all-mode 2-meter rig, which the equivalent today is close to $2,000, but I can buy this exact model number of this 30-year-old rig, 25-year-old rig, for maybe $250, so to speak. So if you're willing to buy used, if it doesn't have to be brand spanking new, you can save yourself a lot of money, and you've got a lot more choices. When it comes to brand spanking new, there's only, you know, four of them in current manufacture that you can buy. When it comes to used equipment, you're down to your last 500 rigs you can choose from. So do you insist on brand new, or are you willing to go used? And if you do go used, there's an awful lot of people who will make suggestions for you on HF transceivers. KD2QBC, K2RIW, you got it, Ken.
It's not really the most important thing to have it to be brand new, as long as I can be sure that I'm getting a quality rig or whatnot. But, I guess it depends, so I'm willing to hear any advice.
And I think you're telling us that this is the very first 80 through 10 meter all-mode rig that you're about to buy, that you've never owned one up till now. Is that roughly true, Ken? Go ahead.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, that really opens up the possibilities. Of all you guys that are in the sound of my voice, if you were Ken, and you're willing to use used as well as brand new, and you want both choices, what's your favorite rig? Which are the ones that have a very good track record without costing a zillion dollars? I'm guessing Ken is not willing to spend $5,000 on a rig. I'm guessing he'd much rather spend a small fraction of that if possible. So when it comes to favorite rigs for 80 through 10 meter all mode, give us your suggestions, give us your call letters as to which ones you like a lot that you fall in love with. give me a call letters and name right now. K2RIW in the TechNet.
BB to GXM.
GXM recognized. Anyone else?
N2NBR. And where is John?